Welcome back to our study of Genesis. Last time we were together, we were reading about what was created on the fifth day and had started talking about the sixth day. Well, I want to go back and just highlight that fifth day. If you'll remember, God spoke and he said, you know, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowls that fly above the earth. So basically he was saying, you know, fish, birds, fowls of the air, that kind of thing. And he created great sea monsters and every living creature that moves. He created the birds of the air. You know, every animal that you see, everything that you see outside in nature is something that God created. And that is really amazing when you stop and think about that. But I'd like to draw your attention again to that 22nd verse in the first chapter. God blessed the fish and the birds. And he didn't leave it there. He commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Reproduce after your own kind. And so the fish were told, fill the seas, reproduce. The birds were told to multiply in the earth. Have you ever looked out on a field? I know I've seen this at Kenzie's house, and it's amazing. You look out in the backyard, and if you hit it at just the right time, it can be covered with blackbirds. And you think, where did they all come from? I mean, it's amazing, and they're there for a second and gone. But the Lord created them. And all the fish in the sea, it's amazing. But he said, be fruitful and multiply. And we're going to hear that here again shortly. Be fruitful and multiply. And we're going to find out that's a really important command that has spiritual significance for us. And so that was the fifth day, the fish and the birds. And then the Lord spoke to the earth, and he said, let us bring forth living creatures after their kind. Remember, we talked about the cattle. We talked about the rapid-moving animals, all those fast-moving animals. And he even created not just the cattle, but we're going to find out that the creeping things, right? So let's pick up with verse 26 of chapter 1. And I'm going to read that to you. And we're going to see what else happened here with creation. And God said, actually, let me start at verse 24, please.
22. You'll pick up the 26?
No.
22.
You want me to pick up
22? Okay.
I'm okay with 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good.
Now, it's interesting here that he emphasizes, or I believe it's an emphasis anyway, that they produce after his kind, his kind, the living creature after its kind. In other words, cows producing cows, horses producing horses, dogs producing dogs, not crossbreeding. That's a perversion. Okay? So God created everything to produce after its own kind. You follow me? And so what's God doing? He's filling the earth, but everything, again there at the end of that verse 25, well, even at the beginning, the beast of the earth after its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth after its kind. He's not by chance that he's saying that, but he's reiterating the fact that he wants everything producing after its kind. Don't manipulate with the seed that God's put in something, okay? And there's so much of that going on today in what's called medical science that about roll your eyes back to know what they're trying to do and what they're trying to reproduce. And you see all types of crossbreed animals, which is a perversion of what God created in the first place. Even in the law of Moses, you'll find as we go along in the study of the Pentateuch that they were not to mingle seed in their field. They were not to mingle or blend a garment. You didn't put wool with linen. But my goodness, about all your garments today are blended, aren't they? Or a big majority of them are blended garments. What God is wanting is a pure breed, a pure kind. That's what he ordained. And so a lot of what you're seeing today is what man has produced. He's taken what God's produced and perverted it to where it's not really producing after its own kind. Okay? Just want to really emphasize that part.
And in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
So, God said, let us. And we mentioned this in our last session at the beginning with verse 1. The God being Elohim, plural. God says, let us make man. Now, this is interesting. I'm going to show you something you probably never thought about before. The word for man here is Adam. Adam, Hebrew. Adam. So, Adam, by definition, is your human being. Okay? So, it's not that that is a proper name. God said, let us make human beings. Before he had said, let us make birds. Let us make fish. Let us make beast creatures. Now he says, let us make human beings. Now that's what you need to see in this. And so God's making human beings. Now, unlike the other things that he's created, he said, let us make human beings like us, in our likeness, resembling us. And so, what's God like? In other words, what is God saying? And when you think of that, people generally, if you make the statement, let's make something in our likeness, they think of physical appearance. But that's not, I don't believe that's where he's coming from there. What he's saying is, let's make man like us. We're three parts. Mm-hmm. Let's make man three parts. Okay? Father, Word, Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you look at the spirit, soul, and body that makes up or comprises a human being, from that perspective, we're made as a triune being, just like God being a triune being. Okay? And so, after our likeness, in other words, let's make these human beings to where they can say words and have creative power and do things on earth to where they can actually, and we'll find this later, dominate the earth, to where they will be a superior being over a bird, a fish, or any animal that you can name. Let us make them human beings in our image and after our likeness. And we'll give those human beings the authority over the earth. We'll get them to run earth like we run heaven. So God made human beings to dominate on earth, to rule the earth. Is that what's going on today? But he never meant for human beings to operate independent of God. It was to be an interdependency. You ruling, but depend on me for the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding on how to rule. And what's happened is man's put God out of the scenario to where man is operating today, ruling independent of God rather than dependent upon God for the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Okay?
God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Here again, I go back to that word. Man is actually the word that we see Adam in other places. So God said, all right, we've made the statement, so he created the human beings. Human beings. Male and female. Now see, this is a summarized statement. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to find in chapter 2 that male and female were not created at the same time. But this is just a summary statement. Let's make human beings in our image, after our likeness. We'll make male and female. Why would you say male and female? So they can reproduce. We'll make them like us. Do you know God can reproduce? That's what a born-again believer is. The reproduction of God. You with me? Spiritual reproduction. And so after his likeness, in his image, so he made them male and female. He created them. And then look at what he said.
And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.
Now, the King James Version uses the word replenish. Actually, if you look at the word, it's fill. Replenish sounds like something was there before and you're redoing it again. And there's a difference between replenishing and filling. And so the correct way to say that is he's the mandate that God has given human beings, fill the earth. What does the world say? Birth control.
Yeah.
Don't fill the earth. So where's that coming out of? It's coming from the devil. It's in direct opposition to what God says. Fill the earth. And I want you human beings to exercise your dominion over the fowl of the air, over the fish of the sea, over the animals, over every creeping thing on earth, you have dominion. Over snakes. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Adam had dominion. The woman had dominion. Okay? Now, are we utilizing that dominion in agreement with God? Or are we operating independently of God? We have dominion. Man never lost it.
And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, and to you it shall be for meat."
So we could say all the vegetation. God has given vegetation to both man, human beings, and animals to sustain them. That's how this starts out. And remember, what God created had the seed in it. God didn't create the seed and wait for the seed to produce. God created the item, whatever that was, and then it had the ability to reproduce. Today, man's figured out a way that he can have a hybrid. If you eat any hybrid food, remember, it can't reproduce. You ever had a hybrid lettuce? You ever seen hybrid lettuce gray? It goes off of a chemical. It's not even soil. But it does not have the ability to reproduce. What God makes has the ability to reproduce itself. And so God had all this ecology set in order so man and animal would have a diet to begin with. Vegetation came first. Okay?
That is an amazing thing, that even the trees had the ability to be fruitful and multiply. Even the trees. And Pete mentioned something before I moved on to that verse 29, but it bears repeating, and I'm going to say it again because you'll see it on your test. The command to be fruitful and multiply is a spiritual principle, and that's what you need to remember, a spiritual principle that applies to every believer. Remember how we talked about at the beginning of our introduction of the Pentateuch that the Old Testament was the New Testament concealed, and then the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so what we're going to see is even throughout this account of creation, we're seeing spiritual principles that are embedded that are important for us as born-again believers. And that's one of them. Be fruitful and multiply. That's not just for the fish and the bears and natural population here on earth, but spiritually we're to be fruitful and multiply.
That's what Mark 16 says. Is all about, if you go to the end of it, where some of the translations leave it out, what does God say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is immersed into Jesus will be saved, right? Mm-hmm. He who does not believe will be condemned. What is this? Go into all the world and speak the word to bring forth new created people. Isn't that how you got born again? The same way God created. God spoke the word. And so he said in Mark 16, speak the word. Proclaim the gospel. And you look at Matthew 28, verse 19. He says again, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And he tells you how to make disciples. By immersing them into the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about spiritual reproduction. He's talking about take your words and you speak those words out as seeds to go into people's hearts to where they understand who the Father is, the Father's role. To where they understand who Jesus is, His role, and who the Holy Spirit is, and His role in their life. This is the way you make disciples. So making disciples is reproducing. You with me? And so really, the natural comes first as a foreshadow of what's to take place in the Spirit. And so the body of Christ has a mandate to reproduce. But I'm telling you, churches practice birth control. They don't want to reproduce in the way God wants. I had a deacon in another church to tell me he did not want the church to grow. He did not believe in going out and ministering in other nations. You just take care of your four no more is the attitude of it. That's not what God says. Be fruitful and multiply. Reproduce. Not for the sake of getting more money, not for the sake of getting more prestige, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. Reproduce people after God. Here's what's going on today. Churches are reproducing after their kind. They're just not God's kind. The world is reproducing the world. So you have the world church that's reproducing, and then you have the body of Christ that's not thinking about that. We've got to get our thinking right. That we're fulfilling the spiritual mandate of God of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. So the kingdom of God can be established in the hearts of people. See, that's the thing. We got to get it in our hearts. Get it in our hearts. Okay?
And that requires work on our part. And so we were talking about creation, God's Word going forth, the Holy Spirit. But there's work involved, too. We've got to get that Word in us. And that includes renewing our mind with the Scripture. That takes work on our part. It doesn't come by osmosis. We've got to subject ourselves to the Word. We need to read.
Ministry is hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're doing it live stream, whether we're doing it in this classroom, whether we're doing it with laying hands on people or whatever, the bottom line is it takes work to get to where we're going. We didn't just come out here and start talking. It takes work to get prepared. You understand? It takes preparation and hands to live stream and all this. And so we are speaking, but we're working. What is this? We're following the example of God. God said, then He did what He said. A doer of the Word, right? That's what we have to be.
In verse 30, "And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so."
So God has created all these things. God takes an overview of what He's created. God's pleased with it, and He's given to the man, the woman, or the human beings is a better way to say that here. He's given them the herbs, and He's given the animals also, this vegetation, for food. Every tree that bears fruit, all this is what God has given. And so all these things haven't changed, but that doesn't mean that God wants you to be a vegetarian. It means use your brain and understand that the earth had to be filled first. Because you'll find when we get in to the ninth chapter, I believe it is, of Genesis, after the flood, that God says, the animals are now for your food. Yeah, they eat people. The clean animals were took in there by sevens. Okay? And so they'll multiply rather than become extinct. God has it all planned out.
And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
Did you read that the animals and man were created the same day? Sixth day. Okay? Now, after the creation, God does an evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
Before, he says, you know, God saw it was good. God saw it was good. His evaluation of his creation, it is very good.
Yeah.
So what God created was very good. Now what is man doing with what God created? That's where the bad comes in.
Hmm.
Not what God did, what man's doing to what God did. Okay?
Okay. Now let's go into chapter 2.
Okay.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them.
So God, in chapter 2, you can't just read chapter 1 and get the whole story, okay? And so chapter 2 really is just a continuation of the creation of God. We know from chapter 2, we'll see this as we go along, that man and woman were not created simultaneously. The male and female were not created simultaneously.
And that's important. Put a star by it. You'll see it later.
Excuse me?
That's important. They're going to see it on their test. Put a star by it.
You heard that. Better make a note of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. First, man was formed. Actually, if you look at that, it's to mold into a form from the dust of the ground. Later, the woman was not formed, but built. Different word, different Hebrew word. And I think there's a significance to that.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman was built from the rib of man. And so when the man, the male, the human being, was first made, inside him was the ability, or God was going to take something from him to be comparable to him, a counterpart. Okay, am I ahead of you?
No, I was looking at something I had researched.
So he's going to make him a counterpart. Now, we don't know how much time elapsed between the creation of the male and the female, but we do know that the man was placed in, God had planted the Garden of Eden, and he placed the man in the Garden of Eden, and he gave man the assignment of naming all the animals that God had already made. Now, the interesting thing is, whatever Adam, the man, whatever that man called that animal, God said, that's his name. God didn't change the names of any of them. You with me? And so, I feel like I'm ahead of myself with the scripture.
That's okay, keep going.
You can go back and read it later, right?
Yes, sir.
And so, what God is creating with the animals is in pairs. Now, extremely important to understand, when it talks about two of a kind, it's male-female. What God is creating is animals that can reproduce. So to reproduce, it takes a male and a female. He goat, she goat. You follow me? But after all these animals are named, and God said, but there's not a comparable mate for Adam. These animals are not comparable. Adam, these animals, he can't reproduce with these animals. I'm going to have to give him a counterpart, one that fits him. Okay, you want to keep reading in Genesis 2?
Yes, sir.
I feel like I've jumped way out there.
It's okay. Good. I read verse 1. Let's pick up with verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. We've got to stop there and talk about that.
I've got to talk about that.
Yeah, let's do. We'll stop there. Okay.
Okay. I think I mentioned this earlier, but I believe from the scriptures, the best I can tell, that a day and a night is 24 hours. 6 days of creation. That all of creation was created in those 6 days. Now, I want you to think about this. You look at things from a natural perspective at how long it takes you to do something. How long does it take God to do something?
He's efficient.
You think of the miraculous things that Jesus did in his ministry. Instantly healed. And so it's not like it took God, 40 years to make something.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been 4 seconds. But I do know this, on day 6, all the animals were made. Okay? Then after the man's made, God evaluates everything. Very good. Now I'm going to rest from my labor. Not from what I said, from what I did. A lot of people have the idea that creation was just words and that was it. No, the words brought it into existence because God followed up on his words and he did what he said. Have you ever said, I'm going to make something? Well, you didn't make it with your mouth. You made it with your hands. Right? You think about it. And so what you did, you spoke it out. You're speaking into existence, but it takes the cooperation with your labor for that to come into existence. And so God says he's resting from his labor. His words are still holding the world together. They still determine when the tide goes in, when the tide goes out. They still determine sunrise, sunset. They still determine seasons. But his hands were involved, not just his mouth. That's what I want you to see. When I say God rested from his works, not his words, we're saying that God was involved in doing things. When we get to the 7th verse, God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He didn't just speak man into existence. You with me? He formed him. He shaped him like a potter would take a piece of clay and form that into a vase or whatever vessel. God took and formed that man. That's labor, isn't it? He's working. That's what I want you to see. Okay?
Okay. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made.
Now, here's something else that's vital for you to see. Rest is Sabbath. And so when you fast forward into Exodus to where God gives the law, and remember the Sabbath day, remember the day of rest. Remember God rested from his labor. It's a type. It's pointing to something. And so under the law, natural people were observing a natural day of rest. But if you look at Hebrews chapter 4, it's not a day of rest, it's a person of rest. Jesus said he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He said the Sabbath, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. In other words, it's a time of rest. Now, this is where we go from the old covenant, which is generally viewed as works, into a new covenant, which is a covenant of faith in a finished work. Well, if you're living by faith, you're resting from the labor that's already been accomplished. You follow me? So all this is pointing to, as Heather said, this Old Testament had something concealed. The New Testament's telling you what it is. All right? Our time's up. We'll stop here and pick back up after the break, okay?
Okay, very good.